We got a special guest in the studio this morning. It's Brody Lee, Rochester's own. Good morning, Brody.
Good morning. And I definitely was not in bed at 8 or 9.
Probably were tipping some cows, huh?
Tipping something.
All right. Well, we're going to have Brody on the whole show with us today, but I want to start off talking about a few things that have happened this past week. If you want to give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280 is the phone number. This past week, we had SmackDown in Rochester. Murph and I were both there, and we had a good time. What did you think about the SmackDown in Rochester, besides the fact that we were jaded because we were hanging out with Kane earlier in the day?
Yeah, that was a pretty good kickoff to the day, but I thought it was probably one of the better TVs in a while. I mean, I don't know. I can't put my thumb on any one thing. It just felt better from start to finish. It was a little weird seeing the NXT show, seen as, like, it isn't on TV anymore. Not, the only guy that can speak on it isn't even here.
Yeah, the artiste is out of town.
So, but no, I felt like it was one of the better shows, and people were really into it. You know, I've been to house shows after Christmas where people were really into it, but this was probably the best TV of the last, like, 3 or 4.
And the crowd was packed. I was very, thank you, Rochester. I mean, WWE's got to thank you. The place was packed. I was very impressed because, you know, sometimes around the holiday season when there's shows and stuff, you know, you get the small crowds. I mean, even in Albany, they only had like 6,000 in Albany for Monday night. Okay, there was a snowstorm. Oh, you know, that might have gotten the way a little bit. You know, the whole East Coast was shut down as well as, you know, central, you know, central part of America. But, you know, I know we beat Albany in attendance because, I don't really know the NXT show, so, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, what I'm looking at these guys, I'm looking at them like the one guy's announced he's from Ohio or from Cleveland. So I immediately look over to, you know, the artiste. I said, you know who this guy is? Because it's like, I figure he would have been around this area working.
Yeah, I don't know, unless he, like, moved the hell out of Cleveland and trained somewhere else.
Yeah, I think maybe he actually was going to college and learning how to be a poet. Because remember he wrote that poem?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That haiku?
Yeah.
it was a suck up to Rochester, basically. And then he goes on his Twitter and says, you know, it's the worst city. He goes, worst city I've ever been to, Rochester. Or he's ranking him. He goes, ranking of the worst cities I've ever been to. Number one, Rochester. Number two, everybody else.
I saw that. That's Danielson's protege, correct?
Yeah. What's his name? Robbie Brooks? No, I can't remember what his name was.
Robbie Brooks, I don't know.
No, yeah. Robbie Brooks.
No. I don't remember, but yeah, he did. Yeah, he posted.
I call him Flaming A-hole.
You know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of the dude from Saturday Night Live.
Buddy Lembeck?
No.
Oh, Andrew Stamberg. Yeah,
Andy Samberg.
Bateman is the kid's name, right?
That's what it was, yeah.
Jason Bateman?
Derek Bateman, yeah. Bateman. And it was he reminds me of Andy Samberg. He's got the curly hair and, you know, but I don't know. Besides that show seeming like it went on forever.
Well, that's the problem. You got that whole show and then you had a Superstars match and then you had this. And I think NXT taped before, but I think it was live after and you could leave.
Yeah. It was at 10 o'clock, I think, is when it's on WWE.com. And, but, you know, overall, I think it was interesting because you had 3 matches on the show and you had 2 weird competitions. One was the punch the ball, which I immediately thought was fixed as soon as I saw it.
Well, they messed it up when Michael Cole beat everybody the year before.
That's true. And Michael Cole comes out, you know, just trashing everybody in Rochester, too. When what's the guy's name? Brodus?
Oh, Brodus Clay.
Oh, my gosh. Man, that dude's ugly.
Yeah.
he's a big dude, too. But he comes out and he goes, I can change anyone to be cool. And, of course, you know, I look over at the artiste and I go, Michael Cole's coming out. And he comes out and the place just, you know, he's got the heel heat. It's going on.
Him and Vicky Guerrero, it was deafening between the two of them. Yeah.
When just him coming out and just the boos that went on. And then he starts taking shots at JR, which I don't understand why, to be honest with you, because JR has been off TV for over a year. You know, he showed up once in the past year on TV and it's like, he's still got to take shots at him on an internet show. But maybe it's because JR is big on the internet.
Easy heat.
Yeah, that's it. True. You know, he says he's going to have the number. You hear what he said, right? He's going to have the vinegar. What do you call it? Vintage vinegar. It'll be the number one bestseller next year. You know, so obviously it was pointed. But
Michael Cole,
222-1280, star 1280 is the phone number. You want to chime in on going to your SmackDown experience. Murph and I did get the chance to interview at the Brother Weeze station, 95.1. Yeah. We got to talk with Kane.
That was a fun experience.
Kane, it definitely was. And Kane, you know, the thing is he comes in and, you know, I try to make small talk because, you know, I just talk continuously. If you, you know, point me in a direction, I'll just keep talking.
Sometimes you just talk in the elevator. There's nobody else with
you. Yeah, and people look at me funny. They think I'm an engineer or something.
Yeah.
You know, but,
so, you know, but that's a good one if you work here.
Yeah, but, so he comes in, and we're, you know, he's telling me, he's like, he goes, I have no idea where I was this morning at 6 o'clock. I got in at 3, and I don't even know where I because I was just going from station to station. Gets up to us, and then it's like, you know, we're talking for a while. And, you know, nobody, I mean, he was on TV. He was on two different TV stations. He was on every radio station elsewhere. Nobody has a clue about this guy, anything about his history or anything. They're just talking about, you know, what the paper that's handed to him. You know, it's like, oh, you're going to be in town tonight, and you're going to be wrestling these guys.
And your brother's a wrestler.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, you were the champion. And so it's like we're sitting there, and we're talking real stuff with him. And I think that, you know, it kind of caught him for a loop in the beginning of our interview.
Well, if we'd gone in and said, hey, this is for the pain clinic, he might have understood, but it was like morning radio.
Yeah.
So I think it might have really thrown him for a loop because those guys are usually honking bike horns and hitting bongos. And, yeah, asking him, you know, what his favorite pizza is. And there you go. Yeah. So,
all sorts of buttons.
The gong. Yeah. But no, it was. It was definitely cool, and special thanks to them for that.
Yeah, that was very, very cool. And he and actually, he when he got all done with it, he goes, you know what? He goes, that was a pretty good interview. I had a good time.
Yeah.
And so, and it's like, you know, after I watched, I DVR'd all his other interviews, and it's like, oh boy, poor guy's getting fed to the, because this is the week in Rochester that everybody's on vacation too.
Well, he did knight a couple of chicks over at the news channel as a tag team. What were they?
It was the Puerto Rican Princess
and the Boston Strangler.
No, Beantown something. I can't remember. It was Jennifer Johnson and
Norma Holland.
Norma Holland.
Yeah.
And actually Norma Holland looked like she was going to take him down.
That's one tag team I wouldn't mind wrestling in.
That's not a bad tag team.
Yeah. Oh my, Murph!
Wait a minute.
I'm agree with him. I'm just, you know.
That's it, buddy.
But and in this town, I mean, it was nuts. It came out. It was a great show, and you know, they of course everyone was looking for me after the show. Of course, they didn't know they all had to run to Cleveland as soon as they were done. So I mean, even before the show was over, there half of them were driving to Cleveland. For the next show. But that's the way it works in the WWE.
Where Derek Bateman can wrestle for people that give a crap about him.
Yeah, well, he complained about it. He goes, it's not so bad, the city. It was just that I had the worst car rental guy ever.
Oh, that's enough to take a dump on the whole city.
That's a whole city.
Yeah.
So, well, it might be.
So we had our little experience. You know, it was kind of like we built this up for 3 months because they gave us so much time. They gave us so many tickets to give away. And then it's like, oh, it's over. It's kind of like the denouement is kind of like, you know, depressing almost, you know.
Well, at least it was right in the middle of the holidays. Season, so it could go with all the other depression that follows today.
True.
July 4th.
True.
Yeah, well, Memorial Day is a good day.
Yeah, at least we didn't get the 33 feet of snow everybody else got.
Not yet.
Thank God. Actually,
but so
we don't cry when we do get 3 feet of snow.
It's coming, man. Believe me, it is coming. So let's do some quick news, and then we'll go to break. We'll talk with Brody Lee. Brody Lee just off the plane from Japan.
That's why I'm really happy we did not get that snow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That could have been worse, right?
I actually flew into Washington and was really nervous, but by the time I got there, there was very little.
Yeah, this still didn't stop you from being delayed, huh?
No, I was blissfully delayed for 5 hours for no reason in particular.
Oh, man.
In Guam?
No,
some outlaying place.
So some news that we did, you know, because we hadn't been on, really, we hadn't done wrestling talk since the 11th.
Wow.
It's been quite a long time. The one thing that happened, and you might kind of know about it, because Michael Cole kind of alluded to it if you saw the show in Rochester, but Caval was released from WWE on December 23rd, so right before Christmas. And after hearing about it, it was kind of like, well, I was disappointed, but then it's like he asked for it. He didn't. He felt if he's going to be on TV every week losing in 20 seconds to who's the Scottish guy?
Tyler. Oh, McIntyre?
Yeah. He comes out and loses 20 seconds to McIntyre. Why? You know, I mean, he asked him if they had anything for him, and they said no. And he said, well, I like my release then. And so Caval's gone.
You got to figure there's something to that, throwing him on there and having him lose, because they didn't have stuff for a lot of the other guys from that second season either. They're not on there losing in 20 seconds.
No, it's true. It's true. And I know. I mean, have you ever wrestled, Brody? Have you ever wrestled?
I have not yet. I assume I will soon somewhere.
Caval.
Probably in New Jersey.
Now, he's no longer going by Caval anymore, too. He's like
low-key?
I don't even know if he's low-key. He might be One Warrior.
World Warrior.
World Warrior. That's what he's going to call himself.
I'm sure Low-Key will make its appearance.
Yeah,
again.
Low-Key is definitely, I think, in the works. That's where he's. I mean, but the thing is Michael Cole, of course, pointed that out to nobody. Probably knew that in Rochester when he came up on, and said, you know, He goes, yeah, see what the internet can do for you. I'm on your internet show, and look what the internet did for Cavall. He's gone already. Season two winner was gone. I mean,
he didn't even get his title shot.
I know.
Yes, he did.
Did he?
I thought he worked Dolph Ziggler at an IC title match.
Oh, you're right. It was on pay-per-view. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Quietly.
Yes, very quietly. But he, well, he didn't.
I don't know if anything about the WWE, they stick to their stipulations, all right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got to remember that one next time something gets twisted around. But that, I think that's kind of a bummer because we know this guy can work, and everyone was kind of looking forward to maybe a Daniel Bryan Cavall match in the future in which the house would get torn down.
It would never be the same as it was on the Indies anyway.
Yeah, Ring of Honor or any of the places. Yeah, those guys, you know. But, you know, I mean, they got a small taste of what this guy can do, and I mean, you know. He's even, you know, you think about it, this guy is one of those guys that no one ever wanted to sign for years because of his stiff style of kicking.
He did knock Dolph Ziggler out at some point.
Yeah, he was a stiff wrestler, and everyone said, well, he'll never make it to WWE. He's stiff. Well, he won a competition in which he kind of adjusted his style to WWE style. He's the one who had to cave in and change his style, and he did, because he wanted to get a chance, and he got a chance, and it didn't work out. So I feel it's kind of, you know, like a missed opportunity.
I feel like to the WWE, it's almost like a slap in the face to the internet. Like, they let him win this competition, and then, we're not going to do anything with you, you know, just kind of jerk you around a little bit, and then let him sit there and do nothing. I feel like he did the right thing, because he's going to make a fine living in Japan and on the Indies right now.
Oh yeah, and he was, he, you know, and the one thing too is I'll give him credit for one thing for WWE. He got hurt while he was training with them, and they actually paid to have him fixed and rehabbed and everything. So
that's the thing. You're giving up your security of, you know, a living, but I don't know. It's tough to at the prime of your career to not be doing anything.
Oh, I agree 100%. And so he'll probably be injected into the indie scene very quickly, and which is good because maybe there'll be a chance we'll see him around here.
Yeah, I don't think there's a 90 day on him either.
Well, there might be a 90 day television DVD clause, but he can work all the different shows.
Okay, we got to go break. Speaking of, you know, it's funny you mentioned that they don't stick by, or they always stick by their word. Remember Daniel Pewter when he won $1 million Tough Enough?
Oh, yeah.
Three-year contract.
Four-year contract. $250.
They paid him for a quarter of the contract and released him in a month and a half or something.
John Cena was fired once, too.
Oh, yeah, he's fired, but he was on TV more after he got fired than before. Hey, but we have some Cena news coming up in the future. Might have got a little boo-boo this past week. Cena got a boo-boo, and you may not see him for a couple weeks. But you're listening to the Pain Clinic. If you want to call in, 222-1280, star 1280. We're still talking wrestling in the new year. Happy New Year. Happy 2011 to all our listeners. We'll be back after these most important messages on 1280 WHTK and FM 107.3 Rochester Sports Talk. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Murph, Danger Boy, our special guest in studio, Brody Lee, and you. Happy 2011. We'll let you know we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire Culver. You can give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. Tell us what you thought about SmackDown. You had a good time. Any close encounters with wrestlers in town? Because I know they were all over the place during the day.
Who won the lottery for Ron Berger's spare ticket?
Yeah. Ron Berger, give us a call. Tell us what you think. But
I went with an 18-year-old.
All right. That was a good impression.
Ron Berger.
All right. Well, we got Brody Lee. Brody Lee's just back from Japan.
Yes.
That had to be a heck of experience, you know. First time that far east, huh?
Yes, that's the first time I've actually flown east.
Oh, and the thing is I know when you left, you didn't have any, do you have like a liaison with you to interpret or?
Nope. I got to the Tokyo airport and there was some Japanese men there to pick me up and they just kind of signaled, and I said, okay, I guess I'm with these guys. So it's really kind of, they could take me anywhere they wanted, and I would not have known. But luckily, they took me to the wrestling place.
Yeah, you were missing fingers and need a job off you?
I checked.
Well, we've heard about the Yakuza from Chris Jericho in his book, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a presence there. I just try to be very respectful of everybody and step on any toes.
You're that way all the time anyway, yeah. So that, you know, I mean, you shouldn't have. But the thing is you had to be like sensory deprived walking in there because, you know, you know, unless you know Japanese.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're, and like when I flew home, I went to the Osaka airport, which is not an international airport. And they just dropped me off there, and it took me a while to get to where I need to be because nobody spoke English whatsoever. And I've been told that some of the wrestlers speak English, and they're just, you know, they don't really like to. But I was pretty sure the people at the airport definitely did not speak English.
Oh, no. Now, you were in Tokyo, right?
Yes, I was in, I actually went all around the country. Started in Tokyo and then ended up in Kobe and flew out of Osaka back to Tokyo.
I hear they have great beef in
they
Kobe.
They do. Great food in Japan, too. I was surprised, but I love the food.
Now, did it take you long to get acclimated to the time change?
I was there for 11 days, and I'm not sure I ever did. There were some sleepless nights, and then when I got back here, I slept for 14 hours and kind of just readjusted myself back to here.
Well,
so,
I'm a big guy, and you're taller than I am. Isn't everything, like, short, like the beds and that?
I wish I had. I have a Maple Leafs hat that literally has a line on it from where I hit my head consistently every day.
Wow.
Like, literally hit my head on almost everything, every doorway. So... It was definitely everything small. My feet were not nearly, I mean, my feet were hanging off the bed, hit my head on everything. I didn't fit in anything. Bathrooms.
And I hear they have, like, these sleeping stations in the not only in the subways, yeah, but also in the airports, too,
I didn't
right?
get put in a drawer. So.
Yeah, that's what it's like. It's like going to the morgue or something, you know?
Chest of drawers.
The company that I went for, Dragon Gate, has its own office building, which has a flat in it with bedrooms and stuff. So I was able to stay there for the duration of my stay, thank God, and hotel rooms.
And you got to work Dragon Gate the whole time you
yep.
were there, right?
Yep.
And that what was the experience like? I mean, like you said, the Japanese guys, a lot of them can speak English but don't speak
right.
English. So.
I didn't really have to work any long matches. I worked for a combination of 3.5 minutes of over 4 matches. So I didn't really have to communicate with anybody over that. But next time I go over, I'll be working longer matches. And so it'll be interesting. But I think wrestling's a common language, so should be able to figure it out. Or just get kicked in the face.
One or the other, right?
Yeah.
In the big metro areas, though, like some of the people speak English, right?
Oh, for sure. Like going in and ordering in like Tokyo and downtown Tokyo, I was okay. But like getting back to Kobe and Osaka, going to like these little restaurants, they had like English menus, but like I still had to point, and there was definitely no communication.
You didn't know like too. They're like $1 million, and you're yeah. like, okay, exactly, taking you to the cleaners.
Wow. And so did you get any good tips from your wrestling friends on what to do when you got over there? Like,
Actually, Claudio Castagnoli gave me lots of good advice, and I was able to bring food into the country, which helped. And just the culture as a whole over there is completely different, and just how respectful they are of everything was very, mind-blowing to me. So, I loved it.
And Tokyo is, like, one of the largest cities on the planet.
Yes, and you can leave your luggage on the street because nobody will steal it, which I didn't know. But I did leave my luggage on the street, and it did not get stolen.
Wow.
So, that was, that's part of their culture. They just were very respectful of everything.
They didn't take anything but some kid over there's flashing your ID trying to...
You don't look like him. The thing, now, did you get any time off to do, like, some tourism stuff while you were there?
Not really. Mostly on days off, we were driving on their tour bus 8 or 9 hours. So that was interesting, because I didn't really fit on that either.
I was going to say, you know, compared to the average Japanese guy, you had to be a monster walking around.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps my cause. So I'm going to just, you know,
so you're,
stick with that.
Just go with that. And you already have a return date set?
Yes, I'm going back January 8th. And then I'd be back here the 19th and back in February 3rd to the 14th.
Oh, my.
So
the good old body clock's going to get thrown all over the place.
I'll be feeling good late February. I mean, Valentine's Day will be wonderful for my girlfriend, I'm sure.
Oh, no. Well,
if she's listening now, I really mean that.
What about for Christmas?
She was not so thrilled that I was gone for Christmas.
Well, you know, but you know, we haven't had you on in a couple of years. I know last time I think we had Brody Lee on was when we had Colt Cabana in the studio.
Wow,
it has been a while,
yeah.
And I mean, since then, you know, you've done some stuff with Ring of Honor.
Yep, I've actually the last 2 years found the most success I've found in really just trying to keep moving on and forward. Right now, I'm moving forward with Dragon Gate USA, and. I did a little stint in Ring of Honor, which was okay, mainly getting punched in the face by Necro Butcher.
Yeah.
And, you know, just moving forward.
You guys remember Necro? You remember him from The Wrestler?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people don't see him up this way, but you might remember him as the guy who stapled a dollar over or a $10 bill over his eye.
And that, like, he wasn't acting.
No, that was, he was just working a real match.
Right. He was
does he tell you before a match, I don't run the ropes, I don't do this, I don't...
I think he just does it and then punches you, and then you're like, oh, he's for real.
Were you part of them when they were making the movie?
I was at a couple of the tapings that they did, but I wasn't involved or anything. It was mainly CZW. I was only there for one.
Okay, so you didn't see, like, Mickey Rourke or
I actually saw Nick Cage when he was...
Oh, Nicolas Cage, yeah.
He came to the CZW show, and I'm pretty sure that turned him against the role.
You know, I'm glad it turned him against the role.
Me too.
He would have been terrible
in
that movie.
I don't like him, so I was really happy that Mickey Rourke did it.
Oh, sure. I was going to say, you went to CZW, it means you saw a lot of light bulbs and stuff, right?
Yep. Yeah. So he may have been a little intimidated.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, yeah, it's neat because they got a lot of high exposure, and you were with them at that time and everything, mm-hmm. and now you're doing Dragon Gate, and you went to Evolve, too, so you work with... what is his name? I keep forgetting.
Gabe Sapolsky.
Gabe, sorry. Yep. Gabe, yes, the guy who used to sell me the yes. outside the yes. arena, he sold the
programs.
The programs for each of the shows true. And everything. And he's a great guy and everything. I don't know why my name, I got stuck.
I owe him a lot. He really believed in me starting here with Dragon Gate USA. And even in Ring of Honor, I started there with him the day he got fired, actually. And so it kind of went downhill from there. But now he's leading Dragon Gate and Evolve, and... without him, I probably would not have gone to Japan, so I have a big thank you to Gabe Sapolsky right now.
I remember Dragon Gate when they came to the Ring of Honor show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably had a lot to do with him, too, and he still has that. He has that working U.S. division, which you, of course, are involved in. You got to wrestle Aki Bono.
I did. I pinned Aki Bono.
You pinned Aki Bono. This is the same guy we saw the Big Show lose to at WrestleMania.
Right. That's right.
So, ergo, you're better than the Big Show.
Yes. That's what I'm going with.
It's logic, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. So what was Aki Bono like to work with? I mean, he seems to be like the kind of guy who dictates a lot.
He is a large, large, large man. And, I mean, couldn't have been cooler in the back. Just a wonderful guy, but large and not easy to move.
I can understand that. You're not body slamming them, right?
No, I didn't do much with them.
No, I was just saying, you want to hurt your back. I think even the strongest guys in the world would have a big issue with that.
If you're into like athletic junior cruiserweight wrestling, probably not the match for you.
Aki Bono, you never forget that when they took the posts down and the ropes down for the WrestleMania and shoved each other pretty much back and forth.
Big Show was wearing a diaper.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to Big Show about that one. But so now you're getting a lot of exposure now. Have you been in talks with any of anybody else? You know, maybe coming in and doing some. I know that you've done. You've been. They bring you in every once in a while whenever the WWE comes to town.
Yeah, I was doing that for a while, and I think at this point I might be too old for them. So I think they stopped calling me. I do know that Bobby Fish was the Eagle. On SmackDown.
Oh.
In case you were wondering.
Yeah, the thing is if you didn't see SmackDown, when we were at the event, they didn't show any of that backstage stuff.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, because of New Year's.
Yeah, they didn't show any of that. So all we saw was Teddy come out in the beginning and say, I'm having a party. And then as soon as I heard that, we're going to see vignettes all night. But they didn't show anything to the audience. But we had to watch it last night, and we saw it, and there was a food fight. And
we sat there, and there was, like, elevator music playing, and it's like, where's this New Year's Eve party?
Yeah. In fact, we saw Bobby Fish in the hallway when we were when we were there. The artiste caught him, so
he was the Eagle. Him and I know Dalton Castle were backstage, but I don't know if anybody else was. Yeah. Usually Pepper Parks is there. But, no, I haven't gotten a call from them in a long time, and I've never talked to anybody from TNA. But I might soon, I hope.
I say they're coming this way sort of in February. They're going to be up in Elmira.
Borash, we know you're listening.
Yes, yeah. Well,
hire me.
JB, yeah, really. You know, he's not one of these guys that got trained 3 months ago and you signed to a contract and they hurt somebody, okay?
I mean, I have a lot of friends in TNA, and I've heard a lot of good things about it, and... I think at this point, if I'm going to make a living in America and make my name in America, it'll be in TNA as opposed to WWE, because I don't think I totally fit in with WWE anymore.
Well, you know, we just heard Awesome Kong got signed by WWE. So, you know, When the company is
in Italy. Brody's not a freakishly large black woman.
Right. No, but, right. I'm saying that's out of their cookie cutter. You know, that's definitely out of their cookie cutter what
that's
they want.
That's if they waste her, though, because they signed, right. you know, they signed Cavall. And...
Well, I know, but, you know, I'm saying, you know, I mean, sometimes they have to verge, you know, to
yeah,
diverge
I mean,
their business.
I think Colin Delaney filled that slot from Rochester.
Think so? Well, I would say, but I don't know. You never know because, I mean, if Awesome Kong comes in and suddenly she romps over the whole women's division, then I think maybe they're looking, because, you know, the thing is they're looking to spike the ratings. And sometimes when the same old doesn't spike the ratings, they got to, you know, look for the, you know.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to say never because there's a lot of things that have happened in wrestling that I never thought would happen, so... I mean, if it happens, it happens. But right now, I'm kind of focused on Japan and American Indies and TNA, if at all possible.
And Jersey All Pro. You're the champ.
I'm the heavyweight champion of Jersey All Pro. All of Jersey. I'm also the New Jersey state champion in Jersey All Pro. So I am the champion of all of New Jersey and the world.
And New Jersey the world.
Is there a power plan on the belt? And like,
really intense.
Do they? Are you the tag champ too? There?
No, not anymore. Necro Butcher and Nick Gage were the tag champs. With Nick Gage's recent legal issues, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we just got news today that Nick Gage, or I think his real name is something Wilson, Nathan Wilson or something.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested yesterday for robbing a bank in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. So. A bank that took a promo picture of him.
They took a promo picture.
He posed.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh no.
He opened up beforehand.
I actually have CZW on January 7th, and if he's out of jail, I assume he'll be there. So it'll be interesting.
So yeah, and so you're the Jersey champ, and I mean, Jersey All Pro isn't like a regular indie. I mean, I think because they bring a lot of names into
their
shows.
They just had Liger on two shows at the end of the year. I wrestled Rhino there at the end of the year. Trying to think, I think Raven's on the next show. They're always bringing people in, and
Charlie Haas. Didn't you beat Charlie Haas?
I beat Charlie Haas for the New Jersey title. He was the champion of all New Jersey, but now I am.
I don't think he really relished, you know, didn't mind losing that title.
Right, he didn't at all.
And talk a little bit about Evolve and what you're doing with them. And this is also another Gabe Sapolsky.
I've been on three shows. I got suspended last show, and I have not been able to make another show since. So right now, not much, but hopefully getting back there to fight Jon Moxley again. It's an interesting concept. They just keep the matches, you know, they're really, they flow better, they're quicker, they're not your typical pro wrestling match, and if you put a DVD in, you could sit down and watch the whole thing start to finish, and it's a collection of high-speed stuff, more cruiserweight stuff. So me and Jon Moxley being heavyweights, we just went out there and punched and kicked each other really hard.
Yes. But you being a heavyweight, you also can work different styles,
right, right.
too.
Absolutely. I like working little guys. It's much better. Much
I know. Because if you were at the last NWA New York show, you got to see you work the returning Kevin Dunn.
Yes.
After punting the baby.
And his baby.
Thank you, Snitsky. Thank you, Snitsky.
Snitsky made it okay.
You punted the baby.
It was just a Gatorade bottle and a towel. Moms out there. I haven't heard the end of that from people. Moms in particular.
Well, you had to, you know, draw some interest in the match, that's for sure.
My,
you know,
my mom doesn't go to the shows, but she reads Facebook, and so
it was a great match, and Kevin Dunn, of course, had retired the year before.
That's right, and
you drew him out,
basically threatening his baby. You know, makes a man's blood boil, apparently.
So. I didn't even know his wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
Do you know that, Murph?
No.
Murph's buds with him, too.
Yeah, no, I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, she's, I think, 3 months now or so. So, yeah, but it was a fun. I mean, that was really fun. I think he's retired for good now. I mean, you can't really say that, but... Because he'll probably be out of retirement next
Marcos
year.
Marcos comes up to me and goes, what am I, chopped liver? I was the last guy.
Hey, he beat Marcos, I think.
Yes, he did.
And he beat me, so this is not fair. He's supposed to help the business on the way out, not the other way around.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you got to think about maybe, you know, maybe it'll give you a spark to everything if you do, like, announce a retirement.
Right. That's the other thing I was thinking is, basically, I work with a lot of people in NWA Upstate that have retired. And maybe, you know, maybe that's my next thing is I'll retire and then... wait a month and come back and say, oh, my price went up because, you know, I was retired.
Yeah. You could be the retirement killer and just wrestle all the guys that retired.
I mean, if they were more talented, I would. But,
You know what I was going to say is you can have all the guys you retired team up and beat you up. Yeah, really. We should have all the guys you retired team up and beat you up.
And I actually made a comment about that about J.P. Black. I retired J.P. Black.
That's right.
And he told me on a shoot that he would not wrestle ever again, never be in a wrestling ring again. And then I come to a show in Rochester, and he's in the ring wrestling. I was a little offended.
And JP was the guy who left his boots in the ring.
Exactly.
And his hat.
We killed each other for what? Apparently nothing.
150 fans?
Yeah.
It's the Ric Flair school of retirement, I think.
So, Terry Funk school of retirement.
That's right. Terry Funk.
He retired before I was born.
Terry Funk will be walking with crutches into the ring someday, and he'll still wrestle.
It seems to be an epidemic in Rochester, too. There's like 10 people that have retired and have come back.
Yeah, I remember.
There's a few retirements planned for this year, too.
Well, they'll be back.
It's all part of a career progression.
Exactly.
You wrestle for 3 years, you retire. Yeah. You wrestle for three more years.
I guess. Like, now that I've, you know, taken wrestling more serious, it's kind of annoying. Like, I just wish people would take it more seriously. And if you're gonna, then if you don't want to retire, don't retire. If you want to take some time off, take some time off. You don't have to make a big, you know, theatrical production about it, I don't think.
Sure. Disappear. Just disappear.
Right.
You know,
because
right. Dusty retired, and he retired. He's not
exactly
in the ring anymore.
Like, people are like, oh, you know, I'm going to call it a career. And I'm like, if you're calling this a career, then I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to call it a foray into wrestling.
And I'm probably not making any friends right now, but whatever. I don't care.
We got to go to break right now. Oh, my. And we'll break on that one there, Mr. Mr. Brody Lee. You're listening to The Pangling. If you have a question or a comment, 222-1280, star 1280. You're listening to The Pangling on 1280 WHTK and FM 107.3, Rochester Sports. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. And we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Sorry. Hitting the post. And a lot of other things. Hey, welcome back. We got Brody Lee. We're in the middle of a great discussion. We got a few calls since you said something.
Hey.
Start with our buddy Big Cat. Big Cat, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Rich? How you doing, man?
Doing good. How you doing? I enjoy listening to you doing the hockey show on Sundays.
We definitely have a blast doing it there. And I heard my buddy Brody was on the Pain Clinic. I saw it on Twitter, so I had to call in. And I know I gave him some props on Twitter this week, but there really is no better guy out there that, you know, deserves a spot. And a big guy that can move, and he can work, and ran circles around me the few times we worked.
I just had to wait for one big guy in Rochester to retire named Big Cat, and I was able to succeed after that.
Well, Brody, like you said, I know how to retire, and I know how to do it well. I don't need to come back 20 times.
And we were just talking about that in the break. You retired, now you have a family, and you're happy and living life. Like, you know?
Yeah. No, see, I'm moving through you guys, man, doing it. That makes me proud. I was just watching the tribute show to my dad back in NMW, and I saw a certain Brody Lee in the crowd with a couple other wrestlers. It was awesome.
I was appalled. I was appalled that masked man attacked you.
That damn Chip Stetson.
Yeah, I was appalled.
But no, man, I just wanted to say congrats. You couldn't deserve, you know, a better guy to do it. And TNA and WWE need to wake up real quick and sign this guy.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, Big Cat.
Thank you, Big Cat.
Buddy.
All right. Don't forget, he's a co-host with Rob Sanderson on Drop the Puck on Sundays, which is not on tomorrow.
And a great man.
Yes.
Not on tomorrow.
It's not on tomorrow.
But Matt, you can get an extra hour of the Sunday morning bullpen.
That's right. Murph will be hosting the bullpen tomorrow, 10 till the Cleveland Browns-Pittsburgh game.
Amen. I knew I recognized the voice.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, the face doesn't match the dulcet tones.
Dulcet tunes, yes. And we got a bunch of tickets there.
Never you mind.
Hey, but we got another call here from Chris from Greece. Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Rich, thanks for the tickets for the show the other night. I managed to make three people happy, me, myself, and I.
Oh, really? So would you take up two? Did you? Yeah, we got two. Did you have a good time?
And I had a great time. I was with the guy that had the tickets for 6 and 7, so I had built-in audience.
All right.
For a while, you know. So the two of us sat and chewed the fat a little and worked out great.
The thing is you got to hang out with the other fans of the Pain Clinic. So,
it's all right.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So what did you think of the show? I mean, overall, a good show?
Overall, very good show.
Cool.
I was surprised they were taping so much for so many different things.
I know. It was like three different shows were being taped. It seemed like, you know, and the NXT thing was, for me, it was a little tedious, but that's just because I haven't watched it since it went off the TV. So, but hey, Chris, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you enjoyed the show. Anybody else who got tickets want to give us a call? 222-1280-1280.
We tried to put those guys together so as not to offend the other patrons.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Brody, has anyone ever told you you sound like our old co-host Rico?
I've heard that a couple times.
I did mention Dr. Love. Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time, though. I think he did get a shout out when we went into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the last time I saw him was right when the police were escorting him when he got too close to a school zone.
Rico or Dr. Love?
Probably both.
I think they were both in the same car.
I'll defend Rico till the day I die.
Yeah, that's right. And Dr. Love, he did induct us into the Hall of Fame, which is very cool. Since the last we've been on, there was an upstate NWA New York show in which you wrestled. And that was fun. It was fun. It was your last stop before going to Japan. It looked like a fun night was had by all there.
It was very fun. I actually flew out 7 a.m. the next day, so I had a lot in my mind, but really couldn't have asked for a better match to leave Rochester to. Because, I mean, there's a lot of other people that I could have had a lot worse matches with.
True.
I was blessed to work Kevin Dunn.
I was absolutely happy with the amount of people that showed up for the show, too, because, you know, a lot of times you throw a lot of big names on the show and then people will come. But this was like people who were ingrained into what's going on in NWA New York. So there is a fan base here who follows the storylines.
I was actually very happy about that, too. To come out that curtain and see an actual full crowd is really nice on the indies.
Definitely.
And rare.
And in Rochester. Too, so.
Very rare. I mean, there's places like 2CW that get good crowds, and, you know, Upstate usually does, but there's a lot of other places I go to that it's very sad to walk out the curtain.
What did Kane call those? Witness protection towns?
Yeah, he was talking about working in Smoky Mountain, and he was talking about going from town to town and, you know, the witness protection tour. It was very
nice.
Well, we're up against it. We got one more break here. We'll talk to you on the flip side. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK and FM 107.3, Rochester Sports Talk. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Murph. Danger Boy and Brody Lee is joining us. And believe it, we got a call for you, Brody Lee.
I was actually just going to announce my retirement.
Oh, no. We got a call from one of our esteemed co-hosts who couldn't be here today. It's Jay-Z. Jay-Z?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay, Jay-Z. Jay-Z is convalescing some injuries as well as other things.
Yes.
You got to be careful. Be careful when you get the ire of your wife.
Yeah, I know. She threw me down the stairs.
While he was dressed as Santa.
You hit the door.
I wanted to call earlier, but I couldn't. I was in the middle of something. But I kind of had an image in my head when you were talking about Brody in Japan. And it's kind of like Will Ferrell in Elf, wasn't it? You know, the tiny showers and
Very much so.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. But anyway, I want to echo what Big Cat said. If there's one guy in Rochester wrestling that deserves a shot at the big time, it's you, Brody. And I'm glad to see you going to Japan.
Thank you.
I guess his nickel.
The WWE just took over his phone.
His quarter ran out. Thanks for calling, Jay-Z. Well, you know, when you're in right our wing. I mean, no, never mind.
Yeah. I do appreciate all the sentiments from people in Rochester. I feel that my goal is to be the most successful to ever come out of Rochester, and with Colin Delaney finding WWE success, he's made it difficult, amongst other people, including China.
We're going to have to see the movie, and you got to have a bigger unit than China.
So. Yeah, would you admit? See, the thing is as long as you admit you're from Rochester.
Right.
You know, she doesn't. Right. She thinks she's from someplace else. So.
Right. I mean, well, it is tough to admit you're from Rochester. To come here and see some of the people and wrestlers here, it's hard to admit, but I am from Rochester.
Yeah, well, Rochester's a good training ground. I really think that you see some of the best indie wrestling I've ever seen myself in this town. So
some of the best and some of the worst.
But you know, you get
on the same card.
Yeah, sometimes immediately preceding each other.
No. But I always say that the indie shows, if you're going to see somebody up and coming, then go see this guy because he. While you can, because he'll be in Japan for a bit coming up soon.
Actually, I think I'm missing
softball season.
No, yeah. I've already told Japan that softball takes precedence.
Okay, Sid.
That and farming your pigs. Right?
I don't think they understood me, but, you know. And actually, in Japan, when I had to manage somebody, and there was a baseball star in the ring reading the acknowledgement for the championship, and I may have threatened a Japanese baseball star, and I don't know who it was.
Uh-oh.
Was it the guy who made that catch?
It could have been.
Could have been Sandahara for all you know, right?
I would have known him. He's been a little bit older, but...
Well, that you know, you'll be back there. I'm sure you'll figure out who it is eventually. But
if I don't come back this time,
yeah,
you know why.
We haven't seen
local gaijin killed with ball bat.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that would make sense. We'll do some real quick news because we've got 2 minutes left, and I want to thank Brody Lee for coming up.
It's
always a lot of fun to have you up here, especially when we're all, you know, we all stayed up late last night, and you're very well spoken, and I think that you'll do very well, and I'm excited to see you on all these trips and everything.
Thank you very much.
We mentioned earlier, Awesome Kong was signed by the WWE. It was rumored, I think it's pretty much 100% that that's going to happen. That ought to be real interesting, see how they work her in.
I'm happy for her after all the crap she went through with TNA and Bubba the Love Sponge and all that.
And now Bubba lost his job.
No, he's back.
Is he? No, I just read yesterday that it's for sure he's done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's done. He's not
serious, but he still has his terrestrial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he still has a terrestrial. He's not in Sirius anymore.
Good.
Oh,
really?
Good. So, but some other news. Nunzio, you might remember him. He got to work WWE recently. He was visiting friends backstage at Madison Square Gardens, and the snowstorm hit. Nobody else could get there, so they needed a referee, so they threw a shirt on him, and he roughed.
It was him and Lil' Nate.
Yep.
Him and Lil' Nate.
I think that's cool for the fans to see.
Oh, yeah, that would be real cool, a whole night of Nunzio, half referee in the matches.
All right.
No, definitely, that'd be neat.
It definitely is. I mean, we remember him when he was an elf here in Rochester a couple years ago.
Do you think Brock Lesnar's going to leave to go back to WWE?
$2 million for a 30-minute match, I'm in.
Yeah, but the thing is apparently Brock has lost interest in UFC. That's what news is.
That's what happens when you get beat up.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get punched in the face 25 times.
Yeah, Cain Velasquez took it to him. So
now he's out for 8 months.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's when you get some steam rolling.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know, but you know what? It's interesting. It's certainly going to make WrestleMania interesting this year if he does show.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we want to thank Brody Lee for coming and visiting us in the studio.
Thank you
so much. I want to thank everyone for listening. Happy New Year once again. Thank you, Murph. Thank you, Danger Boy, for coming. And next week we'll have a TNA guest come on, talk about TNA pay-per-view Genesis, which is next weekend.
It'll be Phil Collins.
Don't forget to come out. Yeah, Phil Collins. Mike Rutherford. No, don't forget to come out tonight to Salvatore's Garage Door. Catch us for UFC 125. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.